Okay, I have my computer died here briefly. Let's go back over here. Okay. We're in Parshat Shoftim, which of course deals with all the leadership roles in Bnei Yisrael, right? And Moshe is telling them, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you have to establish a government. Classically, the mnemonic is Mishkan, Melech Shofit Kohen and Navi. Separation of powers in what the Torah describes the ideal government. And we're going to talk specifically about the nature of the authority of the Navi. What is a Navi doing in all of this? What does a Navi tell you to do? The prophet, right? Tells you God talked to me, and here's what he said. And the parsha starts on source one. Well, the subject starts with a sentence, Navi mikir bacha me'achecha kamoni, yakim lecha Hashem elokecha. God will send a prophet from among your brethren, just like me, Moshe says. You need to listen to him. That's the mitzvah of a Navi. You need to listen to a Navi. What does that mean? Now, it could mean you have to just listen to what he says and go on with your life. It could mean that if he gives you advice, you need to obey it. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Navi has the authority to decide halacha. I tell you, okay, this is what the Torah wants you to do. But the Gemara says that that is part of what that means. And that's source two, the Gemara Yevamot. I love Tishmael. The Torah says you have to listen to a Navi. Afil omer lacha, avor lachat mikol mitzvot shabbat Torah. Even if a Navi tells you that you need to violate one of the mitzvot in the Torah, you could go to Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, just like Eliyahu did on Har Carmel. We'll look at that. Fi hakol fi sha'ashmalo, and that according to the situation, let's put data, according to the sha'a, according to the moment, then you have to listen. So what was the story of Eliyahu on Har Carmel? The Haftorah for the Pentecost, I think, that Eliyahu challenges the priest of Baal to a contest. They're both going to bring up, offer sacrifices on Har Carmel, and whoever's sacrifice is accepted by their gods, that must be the true God. And then after the priest of Baal fail completely, Eliyahu gets up. It's verse 3. And Eliyahu takes 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes. That Hashem had told him you were going to be Yisrael. So he takes these 12 stones, and he builds those stones into an altar. In the name of God.
Yeah, look, I think.
Hey there. To Allah, kibetz a time zera saviv lemizbeach, and he makes a moat around the mizbeach. He puts wood on top of this mizbeach. When he takes the par, and he cuts his cow up into pieces, puts him on the etzim. And so, why is that a problem? The answer is because you're not allowed to do that. The Torah is very clear that offerings have to be brought in the Beit Midrash. You can't bring them on top of some mountain that you decide. That's in last week's parsha, source 4, Hishamer lecha, pentale elotecha b'choma komasher tireh. Be very careful. Do not offer sacrifices at any place that you see fit. Himel b'choma sheyivchar Hashem b'chad shvatecha, but only in that one place that God chooses. In one of your tribes, shem tale elotecha, that's where you should bring the sacrifices. Shem taseh kol asher anim anochim etzavecha, that's the place where you need to. That's where you should offer everything that I command. So Eliyahu's not allowed to bring a sacrifice on Har Carmel. He does it anyway, and that's the idea of a horad sha'a of a Navi. That a Navi can say, right now, we're going to do this, even though the Torah says not to. What does that mean? And this is the way the Rambam develops it. Source 5. Davar barur, mufarash b'Torah. It is absolutely clear. It is explicit in the Torah. That the commandments are forever, and eternity. You can't change it, you can't add, and you can't subtract. And part of the implication of that is the idea of Lo Bashamayim. We've heard that phrase before. So Navi cannot come up with new laws. There will be no more new mitzvah of the Torah. That's a fundamental principle of faith. And a Navi can't say, God spoke to me and said, here's a new mitzvah. Here's how we're changing what it says in Torah. So what does it mean in our parchment? It says you're going to have a Navi and you need to listen to this Navi. Not coming to create a new religion. But one thing that a Navi can do is to command you to remember what the Torah says. Is there a nudge in the right direction? Was here ha'am sholiyavru aleha, to warn the people not to violate the Torah. Moshe Amar Ha'achron Behem, the way the last Navi Malachi says, Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi. That's perfectly legitimate. Navi can tell you something you already know, but he's just reminding you of that. V'chein im tivanu b'davar harashut. Similarly, he commands us in something that's entirely optional. The Torah doesn't say one or the other. G'gon l'chul makom piloni al telechu. Navi tells you, go to some place, don't go there. We'll go to war today. Don't go to war. We'll build a wall here. Okay. No connection to contemporary politics, but it's possible Navi will tell you to build the wall. Mitzvah l'shma lo. Then it's a mitzvah to listen to the Navi. That's unrelated to mitzvah the Torah. That's not problematic. Next one is the problem. V'chein in yomar lanon hanavi shenoda lanoshon navi. So if and the other thing is that if a Navi comes, who we know is a Navi, who's a certified Navi. The Rambam goes into how do we know somebody is legitimately a Navi. We're not going to talk about that now. But they have their Navi certificate from the Central Beit Din, and he tells you, God commanded me this. Navi tells you, you need to violate this mitzvah. Well, mitzvah rabbi, or a whole bunch of mitzvah. Whether they're major ones, small ones, lefish ta'at for a moment, right now, that's part of the mitzvah of a Navi, as I call a harat sha'a. You have to listen to the Navi. And that's what we learned from Chazal, from the Gemara, from the tradition. This is Torah Shmuel Peh. But call in every case, if the Navi tells you to violate a word of the Torah, like Eliyahu did when he says, here, make a mizbeach on Har Carmel. I've lost my place. Shemalo. You need to listen to him. Chutz mi avodah zarah. Only thing you can't listen to the Navi is about avodah zarah. But who, and this is only in the case, sheyad davar lefisha, it's only for the moment. Could go to Eliyahu bar Carmel, just like Eliyahu was this mizbeach built it here. Shemalo. Jekriv olah b'chutz, because he brought a carbon outside the Beit HaMikdash. Upneshehu Navi, and because he is a Navi, therefore he is believed when he tells you, God commanded me to do this, mitzvah l'shma lo, and you have to listen. Gambazene amar al elav tashaun, and that also is a condition that you have to listen to the Navi. Ilu sha'alu et Eliyahu, b'amru lo. And if, at that point, they had gone to Eliyahu and asked him, Nakor mak shekatuba Torah, does that mean that we're uprooting, we're eliminating that mitzvah in the Torah where it says, Pen talel otech makom hashem makom hasher tirah, that you can't bring your carbon outside Beit HaMikdash? He would say, certainly not. That mitzvah is still there. But if you bring your carbon outside, that's a chayav karet, that is usher completely. Moshe is going to Moshe, just like the commandment was, that stays in place. But now I am offering it now because God commanded me this to do this. In order to gainsay, I like the word gainsay, in order to gainsay the prophets of Baal. When does that apply? B'shar mitzvot. That's talking about every mitzvah besides Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah ain't shomim lo. The Navi comes and tells you, Hashem commanded me to tell you that you need to worship Avodah Zarah, then you listen to him because then you know that he's lying. Hashem has promised he will never say such a thing. Hashem may give other commandments, and therefore you believe the Navi, but in this case, don't believe him. I feel if you shy, even for a moment. I feel asa atodim atim v'alim, and if he does all sorts of signs and wonders, jerezeh b'hal hachish nivatosha Moshe, that is denying the Nivuah Moshe entirely. V'fichach, no deshe, b'vadai shu Navi Sheker. So that clearly says that he is lying. He's a Navi Sheker at this point. Rakosha Asa, Balat, Bekishav Asa, and any signs he did with magic tricks, don't believe it. Biachaneg, and he is guilty of being Navi Sheker. He has to die by strangulation. So that's the law of a Horat Shava Navi. And much of this shiur comes from Rav Kupperman's Kedusha Shel Mikra, looking at the Rambam, and what does that mean? Where does this come from, this idea of a Horat Shah, a temporary inaction from Navi? So Rav Kupperman says, Arba Yisodot Tanayim, Kavalano Nesher HaGadol. There are four fundamental conditions that the great eagle, as he calls the Rambam, establishing here, if we look carefully what the Rambam says. So you get Eliyahu B'Karmel, HaKarmel. When we look at Eliyahu and what he does in Har Karmel, fail him. These are the conditions in order to count as a Harat Shah that we have a mitzvah listening to. Number one is Navi Muchzar, that he has to be a certified Navi. We know he's a Navi, he's done signs, all the things that go into being a Navi. Number two is Harat Shah. Lo Shinui Keva has to be a temporary commandment. And Lemigdar Milta, that's the Gemara's term, literally to make a fence around the thing, that has to have a purpose, a cause. And it says that his purpose was G'day L'Hachish Nevi'a Baal, to gainsay the prophets of Baal. You can't just, if the Navi comes to you and just says arbitrarily do this, you're allowed to ask why. If there isn't a why there, then you can assume he's a Navi Sheker. And in Otto Facebook, you got Avodah Zarah, and he's not commanding to do anything that has to do with Avodah Zarah. The question here, again, it's not about the Navi. It's about you listening to Navi. Someone in class says, I'm a Navi, God spoke to me. Do I have a mitzvah of listening to that person? The answer is, if it meets these four conditions, the answer is yes. Elav Tishma'u. And this Horat Shah, the idea of a command for the moment. This is the way the Rambam puts it in the introduction to the Mishnah. Mimalacha Navi, Avor al Divrei Torah. Navi says, comes to you, you know he's a Navi, he's Eliyahu. And he says, you have to violate this mitzvah now. Shema lo chut mei avodah zarah, you have to listen, except for avodah zarah. He said that. Aval b'tanai shlo yikava zeh l'darot, but it has to be only temporary. It can't be for generations. Yomar shashem tziva b'zeh, l'asot kach v'kach l'darot olam. The Navi can claim that this is a permanent change in the halacha. And there are two conditions there, which is important to note. There's Harad Shah and Zman Musiyam Bilvad. So Zman Musiyam Bilvad means the command is just for the moment, for the nonce. You do it now, build this Mizbeach, even though you're not supposed to. Now, Harad Shah means that the nature of the decision, the teaching, is just for now. It does not establish a precedent. You can't learn from it. Navi gives you a command that's not something you can learn from. You can start analyzing, well, what's the reason behind it? What does God really want? You can't apply it to other situations. It does not establish a precedent. That's what Harat Shah means. And when we try to look for examples of it, we don't have any contemporary examples. Obviously, we are unfortunately lacking in Nevi'im, at least ones that we are willing to trust. So if we want to look at examples of Horat Shah, we have to look at Tanakh. If you look at Tanakh, there are a lot of Nevi'im there. But the only example that's ever cited, any of the halachic literature, any of the Mefarshim, it's always Eliyahu b'Har Karmel. It's always Eliyahu. He said, build this Mizbeach in Har Karmel. You know, everything. Every time Horat Shah is mentioned, it has to end with Kagon Eliyahu b'Har Karmel. So that Rambam, so that Rashi, so that Gemara. It seems there are other examples in Tanakh, right? The Nevi'im are giving commands all the time. And most of them are the Rambam's first example where they're telling you, you know, go to war, do this, do that, where it's not relevant to Torah. But for what, there's one example. This is Elisha talking to the kings of Yehuda and Yisrael, when they're questioning whether they should go to war with Moab, and he tells them. So this is from Malachim Perkimel, after Eliyahu. Nikalzo b'nei Hashem. This is easy for God to do. You can go to war with Moab. Natan Moab b'yadchem, and you will defeat Moab. Go ahead. But, b'kitem kol ir mivtzar. You should attack every fortified city, kol ir mivchor, and every beautiful city that they have, and you should knock down all of their good trees, recall my name, Mayim Tistamu, and you should stop up all of their wells. And any fertile fields need to be covered in stones. You need to wipe everything in Moab out. And the problem with that is also from this week's parsha. It's the mitzvah of Baal Tashrit, our ecological mitzvah. You can't just go ahead and knock, specifically knock down trees, right? Called Eitz Tov Tapilu. That's what he says. You can't do that. The mitzvah from this week's parsha, source 9. When you go to war against a city and you're trying to conquer it, do not knock down its trees, to build the siege instruments, because you're going to eat from these trees. Don't just waste them, don't just destroy them. So don't destroy the trees. Because are the trees the people, your enemies that are fighting against you? You have nothing against the trees. Just a tree that you know that's not a fruit-bearing tree. That you cannot cut down, but even then it has to have a purpose. You're building siege engines. This has an ultimate purpose. You can't just randomly cut them all down. You need the wood for your war. Until you conquer it, don't destroy it anymore. That contradicts exactly what Elisha says. So the Rak says, commenting on this pasuk in Malachim, that, okay, so that's a haracha. Navi says to do it now, we believe him. But, this is a Radak. Kol eitz tov tapilu, you need to knock down all the trees. Efshar shaita mitzvah l'sha'a ki Eliyahu b'har Karmel. Maybe that's a haracha, mitzvah l'sha'a of a Navi. Elisha said it, they listen. But Chazal don't see it that way. Chazal go out of their way to say, no, that's not a haracha of the Navi. That is part of the halacha. And we're going to look at that midrash here. Let's look at it directly in the Midrash Rabbah. Oda Mar Lehem. Elisha tells him, Moavim b'yadchem. Moab is in your hands. Matan Moab b'yadchem. You'll conquer them. You keep them. Kol Imr Tsar. And you'll conquer every fortified city, you'll knock down all the trees, called my name, and you'll seal up all the wells. So Bnei Israel asks Elisha, the Torah Amran lo tashchid etza. The Torah says you can't do that. Don't destroy all the trees. You can't just ruin the environment when you're in war. Batamir came, and you say to do this, Amar Lahem, no. You misunderstood the halacha. Akol motziva devarzeh. Any other war, any other nation, that's true. You can't knock down the trees. But this Moab is a nation that is kala ubuziyah, that is despised by God. That's God's own laws, and look at that in Parsha Re'eh. And no, Parsha Ketzei, it's next week, where it talks about Moab and why Moab is different. That is kal in God's eyes. God wants you to wipe out Moab and destroy the entire country. Like salt the fields, destroy the trees. It says, again, this is next week's parsha, lo tidrosh shalom v'tovatam, you cannot seek peace with them, you cannot seek their good, those are the trees as well. Specifically halach and Moab. So this is not haracha, this is a halachic analysis, this is a halachic medrash. We're not looking at this as a Navi telling you haracha. And Dr. Elman, Avalav HaShalom, an article looking at Rav Tzadok of Lublin and dealing with Nevi'im and halacha, adds, in the Talmud, the objection not in heaven, right? We have an apparent example of a Navi going against halacha, is never allowed to go unanswered. The journey is usually such was the halakha or the custom of old, the prophet merely restored what had fallen to disuse and been forgotten. Chazal don't like the idea of mentioning haracha. Only haracha of a Navi is Eliyahu b'har Karmel.
So just to clarify, so they're saying that this, because there's also a problem like a Navi Rasha Hadash Devar Me'ata, like a Navi cannot create a new war that is permanent. So are they saying that this is like a remez to like a halacha that always existed from time of Moshe? Or?
Yes, that's exactly what the Gemara is, they're saying. That is a halacha in war with Moab that that overrides Baltashkin. I'm sorry?
The prohibition, like the use of Baltashkin, doesn't apply to any wars against Moab.
Right. That's exactly what Chazal is saying. It's not right. This certainly is not a new halacha that he's coming up with. We definitely don't allow that. Question is why not make it say that's a harasha? For now, he's saying this is a halacha that has always been the halacha. Moab is different. Right. We'll talk about it next week. But he looks. I mean, so Dr. Elman, looking at this nature of Navi, says that in Rav Tzedek's view, that Nevuah was so common in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, that you never asked a halakhic question of a rabbi, what does the Torah say? What does the tradition say? You'd go your local Navi with your chicken and say, is this chicken kosher? And the Navi would say, God says yes. Problem with that is that you, again, it's by definition a Horat Shah, and therefore there's no precedent for it. So you can't go and make your own conclusions about chickens from there. You go now to rabbi and ask about the chicken. He says, it's kosher because, you know, this broken leg doesn't meet these and these criteria. You now know something. But again, if Nevuah is common, you can ask God all these questions. And it was only after the Churban was a prophecy that Torah Shebal Peh, as a human intellectual process, comes into its own. I know, Leah, we've talked about that with Rabbi Kagan's book about the Jewish self, that there was a certain loss with having Nevuah so common. But in terms of Nevuah, the implication is that the Horat Shah, it was there, but we don't see it in Tanakh. Right? We have record of the history. That's what Nevi'im Ketuvim are. We have all these Nevi'im, but we don't see the Horat Shah. And I think the answer is because that's the meaning of Horat Shah. It doesn't establish a precedent. Gemara Megillah points out, Surah 13.
Harbin but Nevi'im, then they do mention the Horat Shah
of Eliyahu Bahar Carmel.
That's the only one that. So you're going to address that? Sorry. Okay.
Right.
Sorry,
that's exactly my point. Well, so what makes that different? So the idea that with the whole Sefarim Nevi'im Ketuvim, this is that the Gemara says Harbin Nevi'im Amdu Lahem Yisrael. There were lots of Nevi'im. Time of the first Beit Midrash, Kiflan Kiyotze Mitzrayim, twice as many of those who left Egypt. 1.2 million over the course of 400 odd years. El Nevuah Shehutzrach L'Dorot Nechtava. But a Nevuah that was needed for future generations, that was written down. Shehutzrach L'Nechtava. And if it wasn't relevant to future generations, it wasn't written down. So we don't have all these Nevuot. So, by definition, a Harat Shah doesn't create a precedent. So it is not Hutzrach L'Dorot. So anything that a Navi told you was not something that was needed to be written down in a Sefer Nevuah. So we don't have anything. So if it was written down, then it can't be a Horat Shah.
Oh.
Because it is, by definition, not creating a precedent. It's not Hutzrach L'Dorot. That last line is my conclusion from all the things we were saying.
So is he saying that in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, like the Nevi'im used, they used their Nevuah to determine like Psak Halacha? Like
yes. That's exactly what Rav Tzedek's website. I think it's a very powerful way of looking at it. That you don't have.
I don't think everybody agrees with that, because like a lot of people would say that. I'm pretty sure that like a lot of people understand, like, I mean, obviously Rav Tzedek disagrees, but a lot of people understand like means even to use Nevuah to determine the Psak Halacha is also like without using like halachic reasoning is also a.
Right. So that's a very strong statement, but it explains why we don't have, you know, any of this kind of record of Torah Shebal Peh development of people discussing it until after Nevuah is gone.
Right.
And it's worth looking at that. And again, Rabbi King, you have Jewish Self, Rabbi Kagan's book.
I meant to take it back with me from St. Louis.
Okay. It's also like a lot of the Nevuahs that weren't written down were probably like they might not have just been halachic questions. It might have just been everybody had their own needs, and so they came to, you know, I guess kind of like a Hasidic Rebbe. People came to the Rebbe with different questions about their mundane lives. So people used to come to the Nevi'im as well and just have personal questions.
We do have examples of that, right? We have Shaul going to Shmuel to look for his lost donkeys.
Right. But that had national ramifications, and that's why it was written down. It seems like everybody used to do that at the time. And
I agree.
You know, every, ones that don't have that they don't have implications for the whole nation were not written down.
Yes, but I think that's part of the same thing. that, yeah. Again, any haracha that may have happened would not have been written down. And therefore, if we see something in Nach that seems to violate halakha, we're gonna, not going to use that as a reason to explain it. We're going to try to analyze it some other way. Okay. But Eliyahu, again, we have Eliyahu and Carmel. Why is that different? The answer is because building a bama, shchutechutz, building a mizbeach outside the Beit HaMikdash, is an inherent part of the halakha. It's not a part of the halakha of nevuah, but it's part of the halakha of karbanot. It's a very different thing. Yes, it's a horacha of a nevi, but it's not really part of the laws of nevuah. This is the Rishami, Torah 14. I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. Ein habama niteret el benavi. A bama, again, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, so you can't have a bama, you can't have your own personal altar and bring your own personal sacrifices outside Beit HaMikdash, is forbidden except if a navi tells you. My time of why? Because it says, Yishamer lecha pen ta'ala elotecha, we quote this, be careful that you don't offer your sacrifices b'chol makom asher tireh. In any place that you see fit, ki'im b'makom b'gomer, except the place that Hashem chooses. Asher tireh. Eliyahu makriv b'shat yisro b'mot, and Eliyahu offered when it was asher to bring the b'mot. Amar osim lai, why? D'ibra, that because the God told him. Amar lai, v'd'berecha asiti. It's b'chom ashkom asher tireh, any place that you see fit, but Navi tells you it's okay. God says, makes the commandment, you can bring the bama here, that's fine. That's where Rashi puts it. Any place that you find appropriate. But you can bring, again, that's a halacha in the bama, that you can bring a bama out to Beit Midash if the Navi tells it to you. You go to Eliyahu Bakar Carmel. That's part of the halacha of the bamot. Just like by Elisha, part of the halacha of Lotashli is an exception from Moab. And the entire nature of establishing a Beit HaMikdash, centralizing worship, centralizing Avodah, that has to be with a Navi. Even though Baba Shemayim, that's the exception. So the same thing again in Parsha Rei. Kima komasher yivchar Hashem okechem, mikol shivtiyachem, asumet shmosham. But to that one place that God chooses from all the tribes, have his name there, the Shechnoti Dershu Bat Hashem. You should seek his presence and go there. What's the Shechnoti Dershu? The Supreme says, the Dershu is Derush Al Pi Navi. You need to seek it by asking a Navi. Yachol Tamtin Ad Sheyomer Lecha Navi. Maybe you should wait until a Navi tells you what to do. No, Tamlam Le Shechnoti Dershu Bat Hashem. Derush U'matza. You need to try to figure out where this place, where the Beit HaMikdash should be built. V'chakach Yomer Lecha Navi. And then a Navi will confirm it. So it's a partnership between us and Avi, representing God's opinion in there. And that's building the Beit HaMikdash, and then exceptions to that as well are part of the command of the Navi. God is telling us that I will tell you exceptions to this Beit HaMikdash rule. It's inherently an exception to the Lo Bashamayim. So why is that the case? And this is now the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma says it's connected to the purpose of the Karbana. Famous argument between the Rambam and the Ramban about why are we commanded to bring Karbanot sacrifices. Rambam says that they really aren't the ideal, but Bnei Israel were used to bringing sacrifices, so try to wean them away from Avodah Zarah. Hashem said, go ahead and offer sacrifices, but do it to me. Ramban says, no, there's some deep spiritual value there. You can't just dismiss it as kind of b'dieved, well, God didn't have anything else to do. And this is the way the Meshech Chachma puts it. It's verse 19. Kadmonim nechlaku b'tam ha-karbanot. The Rishonim argue about the reason for the karbanot. Hamora, the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, amar kihu leharchik lev ha-adam be'avodah zarah. That's to pull people away from avodah zarah. Ramban v'siyato amru, and the Ramban and those who support him say, kiyu l'karev kol kachot alamot, there's something Kabbalistic there, it brings the powers of the world together, v'hu inyan elektra'i ruchani. I like that phrase. This is an idea of spiritual electricity. Meshech Chachma being late 19th century, and some idea that electricity was going to be useful. That what the Kohen does brings out these various actions in the higher worlds. Can do it, everyone knows. There's a spiritual value in a karban. It's not just to wean people away, that it's inherently avodah zarah, and then we're just kind of moving people away. So he's going to say, we're going to split the difference. They're both right. That if you're going to bring a karban on a bama, on your own personal altar, someplace outside of the Beit HaMikdash, that I can say that is just the Rambam's reasoning. That is just to get people away from avodah zarah, because they're going to bring their karban out to idols anyway. There he said you can bring it out in the bama in certain circumstances, but do it for God, not to the demons, not to idols, not to other gods. And I have the Yikra Rabba, which argues exactly that case, and I will go through that. But in the Beit Midrash, where Sam says that's where the Shekhinah is, that's certainly to bring all these forces together. That certainly has a higher spiritual value than simply, well, you're going to do it anyway, you may as well do it to God. So there's a difference between the Bama and the Karbanot in the Beit Midrash. Makarlo Zeh, and I have a source for this. Who the Tanur Breish, Perek Prat Chatat in the Zevachim. The Mishnah says, "In Reach Nichoach b'Bama Ketana," that there's no such thing as a Reach Nichoach. You're pleasing God. There's no pleasing God in a Bama. You're allowed to do it. It's okay, but it's not great. Bringing a karban on a bama, a personal altar, that is not pleasing to God. That's, well, you're going to do it, may as well do it right there. He also goes on to point that making the darim are likened to a bama, creating your own halacha. We can still do that today, and that's the same thing. Yeah, it's not ideal. If you need to do it, you can. So therefore, the Meshech Chachma says that Shchutei Chutz, offering on a bama, has a little taste of avodah zarah. And therefore, we would not believe a Navi if a Navi comes and says, you need to bring this offering here and now, outside the Beit HaMikdash, and say, wait a minute, that's too close to avodah zarah. You're telling us to worship avodah zarah, you can't do that because you're a Navi. And I know God's not going to tell me to worship avodah zarah. Hashem would never give us a command to offer a sacrifice on a bama. So the Darash on Choma Komashir Tireh, not just Tireh, but the Navi tells you, and that halakha tells us that's not the case. Hashem may well send a Nevuah mandating a Bama, that what happened with Eliyahu in fact is real. Hashem's going to reach down into the world and say, no, here's an exception to my rule about Beit HaMikdash. As the Meshech Bachar puts it, Abiyur, Yilchom Mitzvah Maharat Shah, Yisrael Lishmol Navi. So we know that with any commandment that a Navi brings us that is Laharat Shah for the one time only, it's a mitzvah to listen to them, Rak Bavoda Zara, but for Avoda Zara Utsurach Shah Akala Inchamim. That if a Navi tells you that we need to worship Avoda Zara right now, just for the moment, you don't listen. He's a Navi Sheker. So if the reason for the Bamot is just to kind of pull us away to Pabot of Zara, the Derek Kol Makadrim, Beganot of Sadot, the way they would offer in every backyard, came into Ika Bezed, Derara de Chashasha Abot of Zara. So there's a little hint of a taste of Abot of Zara by the Bamot. Lo Yashumim, then we wouldn't listen to a Navi if they told us to offer. After Navi Mufsak, Uharat Shah, even Eliyahu tells us to bring an offering on Har Carmel, you should say, no, that's too close to Avodah Zarah. So that's where, in this case, the Torah tells us that in order to fight Avodah Zarah, as Eliyahu says, then that exception exists. So that's halakha of Bama. It's not the Harat Shah, and therefore it still has purpose. It's still part of halakha, and therefore it's Mitzvah Kledora. We're going to write it down. And the reason why a Bama is so connected to the Navi, has to be a Navi telling you to do that, is because the very existence of Nevuah, Hashem is going to come and say, oh, here's what I want. You can't figure it out yourself. It reflects a weakness in our relationship with with Hashem and with our Kabbalah to Torah. Look in this week's parsha. When it talks about bringing Navi, Moshe says, verse 21, Navi mikir b'chami achecha kamoni, yakim lecha Hashem elkecha. That a Navi will be established, Hashem will bring up a Navi from your brethren, just like me, and if you need to listen to him. Just like you asked God back at Har Sinai, on the day of Mamad Har Sinai, and you said, and Kol Hashem Elokai. We can't handle. We heard Anochi, we heard Lo Yelecha Elokim Acharim, and we can't handle anymore. We cannot listen to God anymore. Moshe, you go talk to Hashem, and then tell us what he says. We don't want to see this great fire. We don't want to die. This is too much for us. Hashem tells me, good. It's okay. That's fine. I will establish Nevi'im later for them as well. And I will tell the Navi what to say. The Navi will speak to them. And Kol Asher Atzaver, everything that I will command. So the existence of Nevi'im are there because we didn't want to listen to Kol Hashem, and we asked that Moshe be the Navi. This is Meshech Chachma. Chapter 22. The fact that we have to listen to a Navi at all. The idea that Hashem is going to send a Navi to give us more commandments. Even to violate the limits of the Torah, like Eliyahu, our prime example. Yishum shekol Torah shamu pi Moshe. Because we heard the Torah indirectly through Moshe. Therefore, another Navi can come and say, no, this is what God wants, because they're also Navi. Navi Kamoni, they're not at the level of Moshe, but they're both what he calls Shitu Vashem. They have the same name, both in Nivua. But the mitzvot of I am your God. You may not have any other gods. The mitzvot of Avodah Zarah, Sheshemu Batzmam Piyad Bura, that they heard directly, a Navi Rashai Lakor. But Burze Apilusha, Navi can't. Because that mitzvah came to us. We don't need a Navi to tell us any details in a mitzvah of Avodah Zarah, what counts, because we learned that correctly. We as human beings can figure out what counts as Avodah Zarah. Other mitzvot, we didn't get that Torah directly. We got it indirectly, we may get it wrong, and Hashem may want to give us a nudge. A push. This is why you should do it. Zewa hetivo shedibiru. That's what it means when Hashem says they said good. She'im sham'um hakomi pieg bura. That if they had heard everything directly from Hashem, lo yachol Eliyahu lizboch b'har Karmel. Then Eliyahu would not have been able to bring that. Eliyahu would not have been able to come and say, no, this is what you need to do. Because Hashem would never need to send another Navi to say, here's what you're supposed to do in this case. We would have the Torah. That's forever. That would give us all the guidance we need. Ushar Nevi'im, and similarly with other Nevi'im. The dupe. Pay attention to this. This will be obvious if you think about it. So that the Bama, and offering Shkudehut, offering a Bama, offering a Neder, and Nevuah are concessions of human frailty. When we Navi gets a Horat Shah, that's not Hashem telling us that the Torah, even though the Torah was supposed to be given to us, meaning we, Knesset Yisrael as a whole, Chazal, rabbis, whatever the nature of rabbinic authority is, are supposed to determine what it is that God wants. We're supposed to determine what the Torah means. We never actually receive the Torah completely. Sometimes Hashem needs to give us a nudge to push us back on track, and that's what the Navi, the Migdar Milta, to kind of to limit things are. And so we pray that we will get back to Yimam Mashiach, we restore that sense of Shekhinah and of a Nevuah and that connection to Hashem, so we can learn that again. Amen. That we will have, and we have a good Shabbos. Fascinating subject.
That's so interesting, yeah.
Thank you. Have a great Shabbos.